Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden he prayed, not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. Ransomed in glory, his face I at last shall see. 'Twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be.
If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with Sabbath day. Thank you for bridling my tongue and any tongue that may speak. And thank you for letting the technology work well to where your people can come in and take part in the changing of the showbread. Thank you for forgiving us when we fall short in sin. Thank you for cleansing us from all unrighteousness and blessing us with the latter rain. And thank you for blessing everyone that's on our prayer list, especially those that are lost. And we lift up these prayers unto you, Father, in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen. Okay, I notice we got 60 families in here now. And if a guest falls out, they're not going to be able to get back in, so I'm wondering if, I don't know, a lot of people don't want to go to the other room, I guess, but it's always nice to leave at least one door open in case a guest falls out. Oh, wow. That's nice. Three or four people left, so that's good. And now we're, yeah, you got a good balance going now. We got 55, 54, 22, and the other one, so that'll be good. Okay, that's nice. Because like the guests, like I said, they can't get in if it's full. All right. And praise the Lord. And there was no lag when I swapped the mics with Brother Eli. So again, it's usually on everybody else's end if you got a bad DSL connection. Because I noticed Eli, when the music was playing earlier, it was a little choppy. It was just a weird choppiness. Now it was quick and snappy. It wasn't really slow and drawn out. So really, you didn't miss anything. But, you know, you could tell it was a problem. Anyway, I don't know if anyone noticed how the insanity in the news has been kicked up a notch the last few months, but I know I have, and I know some of you have because I get the emails, and I also know those that read the RSS feeds on my website every day are seeing it as well because, again, they send me emails as well, and it's truly gone into high gear. I mean, right off, I want to start with something I've been exposing as the Pope's main agenda now for eons. And for those of you that are new, this is a current events type of sermon this week, and I might do a two-parter. I don't know. It depends on how quickly I can get through this. But on this site, on remedygod.org, I have a page titled New World Order. And on this page, I share all sorts of details found in the Word and the historic record, as well as recent events to show that the Pope is indeed doing exactly as prophecy said the Antichrist would do when it comes to forming a global government. I also did a newsletter back in June of 1999, wherein I post a partial list of all the companies, the CEOs of these companies, that met with the Pope to discuss a global government and how it would benefit them financially if they followed his suggestions. Now, even though the list is only partial, because I couldn't get the whole list, no one could get it. I think WorldNet Daily published it, and it was just a partial list, but it was massive. It was huge. I mean, absolutely every CEO of every major corporation on the planet was at that meeting with the Pope. I mean, everybody from, like, you know, Microsoft, Bill Gates was there, to whoever owns Pepsi Cola or even Kraft Foods. I mean, I am not, and all the names of those companies were there. So these guys were all there meeting with the Pope. All right. Then in June of 2006, I did another newsletter and a radio thing to show how his plans with the CEOs was working just as he expected. In fact, it's here I first pointed out how the United States, Mexico, and Canada would have to come together as one nation if this was to work as the Pope hopes, and especially if this was to go global into what Daniel referred to as the 10 toes of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and or the 10 kings that you see John mentioning in Revelation 17. And you see my Dream of a King page on the website for a more in-depth look at that. But let's look at Revelation or Daniel in Revelation real quick here. Daniel 2, verses 41 and 43 says, and I'm not going to go into any big detail about this because most of the people that are attending, I do understand that you do study prophecy. So a lot of this stuff is it's just all reminders, and it's good to have it refreshed and stuff like that in your mind and your hearts. But there are some that are that may be new to this truth. If you have any difficulty understanding some of this, stick around for after church. We might just, you know, answer some questions, or send me an email, and I'll give you some information from the website where you can just really get a, you know, a crash course in all this, because it's happening now. Anyway, Daniel chapter 2, verses 41 to 43 says, and whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, and this is a dream. Let me set this up a little bit. There's a dream that Nebuchadnezzar is having, and he doesn't understand what it is. And the dream is this big image, and he's got the golden head, and it just goes on from there all the way to the bottom. He's got these, you know, 10 toes, just like any human, right? So anyway, Daniel's explaining, and he goes, and whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. And, you know, because they don't get along with each other. Just like you can't mix iron with clay, it just can't be done. But then he goes on, he says, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. So it became obvious. And then John sees in the vision in Revelation 17:12, it says, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as of yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Now, for those of us that have watched the Pope's political games over the last few decades, know Rome is just as powerful as they were 2,000 years ago, but now its power is hidden behind closed doors so as to allow the popes to stand as moral leaders to the people, because they don't want to get in that trick bag again, and they learned their lesson from what it had with the Inquisitions and whatnot. But, I mean, they know if the people knew they were still in the business of killing, no one would sit in the Catholic pews, and none of the Protestant leaders would join with them. It would just be political suicide to do so. They just wouldn't do it. So the problem is, all those that are joined with Rome do not get along as famously as the Pope would have hoped, because not all of them agree with the genocidal attack they are performing against Christians right now via Islam. These leaders know this. They can do all the fal-de-rol and all the nice and the positive, you know, in the public relations reports, in the media, all they want. The leaders know they're lying, because that is the base foundation for politics. You can't tell the general populace what's actually happening. You got to give them the rosy pictures. That's all you can do. So, hence, this is the reason the reason the Lord shows the toes being mixed with iron and clay, and they're unable to cleave with each other. I mean, these guys just don't get along with each other, but they're just in for the money. But I mean, being alive in the days this prophecy is fulfilled, we are able to clearly see that, yes, they do in fact shake hands when big money is involved. I mean, I just did a video about this the other day, but it is painfully obvious none of these political leaders like each other. I mean, in fact, the media is filled with constant bickering between these leaders. And still, the prophecy is plain. They're going to gather as one with the Roman Church, or the beast, as John the Revelator calls it, but they're, it will be for a very short while, as this is their final act before the Lord returns to end all this insanity. So even though we have evidence to show the prophecy is fulfilling, many political leaders denied the truth we uncovered and laughed at our claims over the years, and they still do this to this day. There's Mr. and Mrs. Coffers out there in rare form now. But this spread to include some of the people actually that claim to be Christian leaders who also laughed at the thought that a global government would be run by the Pope. However, as expected, the perfect prophecy of our Lord is not only confirmed, the present truth we preach is now vindicating the message we preach by simple reality. Headline. And this came out in August of 2013, and I did report on it back then, but what was happening recently, I had to do a repost. And that's why I did the videos, to let people know, look, now you can put two and two together. You could say something about it back when it happened in August, but now that we see what happened the other day, and I'll get to that in a minute, it makes it really crystal clear as to what they're actually doing here. But here's the headline. It says, Mexico and Canada declared part of U.S. homeland by Senate maps. I don't know what box that's in. Like, if you're new, scroll down. You'll see all the notes to this and the articles and the links and everything that you're going to need to verify all this. But if you want more information, like I said, email me after church. But anyway, the article, I just got a little snippet from it. It says, Senator Dianne Feinstein referred to the U.S., Canada, and Mexico as the homeland at the NSA Senate briefing on Wednesday, presenting a map that united the three nations as one. Now, the only thing I appreciate here is the fact that she stated on camera, as well as with the map being displayed behind her by another senator, what students of prophecy have been saying for quite some time now about the New World Order and the North American Union. The sad thing in all this is it's going to be experienced by Canadians and by the Mexicans as the American web of corruption stretches over their lands. And some people say, well, wait a second, Mexico, they're pretty corrupt. This is, yeah, but they're nothing, nowhere near as corrupt as United States officials. I mean, at least they got some morals in some areas in Mexico and in some areas of Canada. But what our leaders do is just, I mean, it's criminal. Literally criminal acts in front of the people, and the people just don't revolt, and there's reasons for that too. But our borders are so easily crossed now that D.C. has no choice but to cover all the bases by spreading its tentacles from Mexico's southernmost border to Canada's northernmost regions. The good thing in all this is, as soon as the New World Order gains acceptance via the general population, Rome's days are numbered. We're going to be home very soon after that prophecy comes to fruition, because Revelation 17:12 says they're only going to have that 1 hour of power with the beast. And again, if you want more info on the prophetic events, see my New World Order page on the website. It's in the prophecy section of the site, of the menu. And then once there, you just scroll down to Soon Fulfilled section, and then click the New World Order, or just click the links in box number 2 of the sermon notes. All right, now for the clincher. And this is what kind of like pushed me to set up the like an order of videos as I did. I could have done this video first, but I thought it wouldn't make sense if just put the other video first and then do this one. But and this might even help some of the most hardened scoffers, by the way. But I must also say that I am not the least bit surprised that the other churches that claim to understand prophecy missed this major prophesied event. I mean, after all, they missed quite a bit ever since they all decided to help Rome create the image of the beast with the 501c3. So when scriptures and history confirm that when you choose to disobey the Lord, the understanding of prophecy is always going to be removed. And this is why they miss things like this. Because ever since getting the 501c3, ever since joining with the state, you know, like Jesus said, they're going to be preachers of filthy lucre. They're doing it for the money, just like everybody else. They're all doing it for the money. But anyway, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I posted the following article on the main page of the website, but not until I took a few days to verify and double-check its authenticity. I had to make sure this did in fact happen, because I don't want to look like an idiot out there, right? Headline, WikiLeaks reveals secret Trans-Pacific trade deal. Right? And they posted this November 14th. And a little snippet from the article says, WikiLeaks published Wednesday the highly secret negotiated text for the controversial intellectual property rights chapter of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or the TPP, the treaty. The Obama administration has been negotiating behind closed doors without congressional input or approval, which means that's illegal. You know, this ain't the first time, so we're kind of used to this, but why we're used to it is beyond me. But hey, prophecy's got to be fulfilled. So anyway, it goes on to say that President Obama has announced his intention to sign the TPP treaty agreement by the end of December. The TPP is the front runner to the equally secret transatlantic trade and investment partnership, or TIPP, between the United States and the European Union. Now, when I saw this, I alerted my subscribers that the long prophesied plans of the Man of Sin's New World Order were about to be fast-tracked into existence, making it impossible for even the moral leaders in our days to stop it. If you think society has reached the bargain basement of perversion now when it comes to morality, wait until the New World Order drafters elect their global leader. I mean, according to prophecy, we all know who that leader will be. In fact, he is already vying for that position as we speak. I mean, have all sorts of articles on the site where Pope Benedict, when he was Pope, was demanding to be the world's moral leader back in his day. And yes, some of you may have just chuckled at that statement, but he was serious. I mean, because he was pretty obviously not very moral, but the guy was serious. I mean, he knows the political leaders they're going to ignore all his scandals because he and now his Jesuit predecessor, Pope Francis, do have the power to demand such a position. This is why they keep trying to disconnect themselves from the molestation scandals by declaring they are not responsible for what the priests do to the children. That article just came out this week where the Pope literally said that. We can't be held responsible for what our priests do. I mean, if the lawsuits are allowed to enter the Vatican itself, all hope for their... This is why Ratzinger stepped down. He was the first Pope ever to be served papers on the molestation scandal. So if this lawsuit enters into the Vatican, all hope for their global position as moral leader is going to nosedive. Still, even if this does reach Vatican City, the Pope can still lead in the closet, as he has been doing since 1929 anyway, when Mussolini and Gasparri signed the Lateran Treaty. So after all the presidents since Reagan have proven he has no problem placing loyal puppets in powerful positions. In any event, just 5 days after alerting my subscribers on the main website that the Pope's New World Order plans were going to be fast-tracked, the next news report came out on video. And it was, 5 days, November 19th, 2013. And the headline was, "What is Inside Trade Agreement Leaks?" And there was no comments found in the video, but if you watch this video later after church, notice what is said right off the bat in the video. And it also says this in the article that I posted in the video that I put up the other day, so most of you already know about this, but it was stated that this trade agreement will control 40% of all goods and services in the world. In prophecy, we know all about the 10 horns gathering as one entity, or the 10 toes. And we know just by watching the news that money is always used by Satan to get our leaders to do whatever he demands of them. This trade agreement was prophesied long ago, and this... the Club of Rome, if you will. The trade agreement was prophesied long ago, and this Club of Rome, as they have now been calling it since the 1960s, has just made a huge leap towards its final destiny in prophetic history. It's one thing to have the North American Union controlling all the goods and services on the North American continent, as students' prophecies. I mean, we've known all along about this. This was step one for them. And we knew that this trade agreement with the European Union was inevitable. I mean, this was a no-brainer. We've been preaching this for decades. I mean, but some thought it would take literally, a century, let's say, for this to be solidified, I'm sure. But others knew that they would have to fast-track all this so as to catch those with eyes that see off guard so that the loud cry wouldn't be as loud. Well, let me tell you, they failed. they didn't. I mean, we've been warning people about their agenda even before they knew what their agenda was. I mean, the moment Obama and his cohorts had their illegal closed-door meetings and crossed the water to connect with the EU, or the European Union, the New World Order... that the Vatican was set to impose on mankind is more or less set in stone now. I mean, we knew this was the lifting of the notorious capstone to the position on top of the pyramid that will soon find its resting place. And you can see that capstone hovering over the pyramid on the back of every single solitary dollar bill in the United States of America. I mean, they've been making that claim that they're going to do this one world thing ever since they started printing money in this country. So, but 40% may not seem like a big deal to some people who can't see the big picture here, but even though the profits look to be in the trillions for whoever stands at the helm, but when the other nations sitting on the wayside get a glimpse of all this power and all this control, as well as the mountainous riches they have to be joining as kings for that 1 hour, 40% will soon be 50%, 60% will soon be 80%, and then 100%. I mean, this is one of the reasons I put the other video on the site the other day, that I don't really have any additional information on that today because kind of got hit for time. But Japan, the World Bank leader of Japan, is now getting out there with talking points to get the other 60% of the world to join them in this 40% conglomeration, where, you know, where the gross national product of all those nations together as one is going to be insanely huge. So he's already putting out the talking points, and you could tell by who he's involved with, which I'll get into a minute in a minute or so. But the prophecy of Daniel 2 is going to be fulfilled. There's no way around it. And as we know all too well today, money always moves the greedy ones. And most of these leaders, including the church leaders, they worship money. We are now living in amazing times, brothers and sisters. But I must say, if you are not ready to meet Christ now, you best wise up and get ready while you still have time to do so. And for those of you that are ready, you need to get a little bit more busy doing the work or helping those that are doing the work. We need to work while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And Jesus said that in John 9, verse 4. Soon our websites are going to be offline. Our message will become illegal. And many that were blessed to spread it will be jailed or even martyred. We need to take advantage while we can get the message out there while it is still legal. Our numbers will grow and increase quickly so that when they do knock us offline, it's too late. We're already well, you know, in place, strategically put in place by our Heavenly Father. And this is why our Lord has us so many thousands of miles apart. Like I've always said, when the latter rain falls and the Gideon band goes forth, how effective are we going to be if we're in one city and one little church? Would it be better to have us thousands of miles apart so that when the call goes forth that we go out and we start doing the work and the truth starts spreading in our own little areas where we choose to work? And even if they knock us offline, now it's too late. There's way too many believers already out there. We need to strike when the iron is hot. This may take them some time to lock this all down, but even here, it can escalate faster than most can even imagine, especially when they use false flag attacks to push their laws forward at a frantic pace. I mean, after September 11th, it only took them a year or two to remove most of our freedoms right here in America to create a police state at all airports. And then years later, that police state has spread to all cities. We don't have the luxury of time anymore, but we do have the God of creation in our camp. We all need to cherish the time we now have to learn of Christ so as to be ready to meet him as Savior and King. And then let him be happy to see us, too, that we didn't bury any of our talents, because we have all been given understandings of things our children know more than their theologians do. So, and just so you know, the Word of God is plain when it comes to the method by which the Roman beast will choose to kill people of God that refuse the mark. It says in Revelation 20, verse 4, "And I saw the thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the Word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received the mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Well, they're already being beheaded for their witness of Jesus and for the Word of God. There's a Christian being killed every 2 minutes right now by Muslims alone. I won't get into the other countries that kill them. And that's mostly just because of their witness of Jesus and for the Word of God. But it's going to get really bad when they start enforcing the mark of the beast. And as you already know, I have a page on the website in the government's gone bad section of the website, as well as the prophecy soon fulfilled section of the website titled Guillotines in America. On that page, I not only show documentation regarding those devices, I show how certain laws have been drafted wherein some prisoners can be executed by guillotine in Georgia. Just 2 weeks ago, I came across even more information that does confirm this is no hoax. It has to do with certain medical codes that have already been drafted into Obamacare. The headline reads, and I did a video on this one, by the way. I think this was the first one I did. The first one I did this week or last week or whenever I did it. Yeah, it was this week, I think. It says, Obamacare codes confirm execution by beheading coming to USA. And then it says, I got a snippet here, it says, according to reports, more than 68,105 new medical codes are being added due to Obamacare monstrosity, or added to the Obamacare monstrosity. These codes were not created by Obamacare. However, Obamacare is trying to implement every American citizen under international codes to link us to the international system. These codes were actually created by the WHO, which is the World Health Organization. The WHO is a specialized agency of the United Nations. Now, notice, if you will, these new codes are part of an international system. This also confirms what students of prophecy have been saying all along. Obamacare is not all about American health care at all. Its basic structure is to go global, just as the prophecy predicted regarding Rome's global control agenda. Now do you see why Obama's been pushing Obamacare so fervently and why Japan stepped up, the World Bank leader steps up, and he starts talking about affordable health care? He's using the same terminology Obama does, but that doesn't really matter. What really matters is who's standing next to him when he's saying these things. It's the World Health Organization. So why is the World Health Organization shaking hands with the World Bank president as well as Obama? Why are they both saying the same thing? Why are they both pushing the same type of health care? Because it's not about sovereign health care per nation. It's global. Otherwise, the entity of the World Health Organization would not be involved with both. And one of these new medical codes is number ICD-9E978, which is subtitled Legal Execution. Now, why are there execution laws mentioned in the so-called medical law is beyond me, but then we all know how politicians like to attach laws to bills they know would never pass on their own. It's called pork. They do this so because they know both sides of the aisle want certain things done, and both sides of the aisle sometimes don't like the pork that they put on there, but, you know, it's all part of the game. I believe this ICD-9978 code is being implemented in this manner because of its content. In this medical code, they have many options listed on how to kill people in this code. The second option on this list is, and I quote, beheading, decapitation by guillotine. Now again, as students of prophecy, we know exactly why the code, this particular one, was penned. We also know why Obama is being moved by Satan and his cohorts in Rome to implement it. Prophecy says they will behead people that refuse Rome's mark. And so this law must be out there. It's got to be put in some place. And because they know there are Christians like us out there that not only understand prophecy, we are also very vocal and quite able to expose their plans. So they hide such laws so as to have the time to get their ducks in a row without too much trouble. And again, they failed. But still, we don't have the ability to get the word out as easily as others. They remove our videos, they censor our websites, and then they make jokes about the truth we preach and laugh about it on mainstream media to make it look like it's awesome, crazy conspiracy theory, and the people out there that believe the mainstream, believe them. So what are you going to do? But those with eyes that see, of course, you can't deceive the elect. Jesus said it in Matthew 24, right? So one of the things the elected leaders fear the most is the wisdom of God's obedient people. We know and have alerted many that Rome invented Islam so as to hide behind closed doors when the beheadings begin. We've known this for years, and we've posted the information online. Now, if you recall, back when Hitler came to power, at first Rome exalted him to try to get the people to follow him blindly. And many in Germany did just that. I mean, this is why you had the brown shirts. You had just like they did with Obama. When they got, you got Obama's youth went out there, and, you know, the same thing Hitler did. You got a bunch of people to follow him blindly. But their PR campaign failed, and their true fruits and their true agenda were made known by many. Soon, many nations started to fight against Hitler, and so the Pope of the day just started to back off. After a short period and no doubt some closed-door meetings with Hitler, the Pope and Hitler agreed to keep the Vatican out of the mess. As history now confirms, Hitler obviously agreed to pay the bad guy while Rome played the good guy. We got all sorts of photos and stuff like that on the RCC and Hitler page on the website. So eventually Hitler failed, and Rome regrouped and had to put Plan B in motion, of which we see today with the Muslims who kill at least one Christian every 2 minutes. And they're killing more Christians than their method of doing so is actually quicker than Hitler could ever imagine. And then for years now, we have seen Rome declaring Islam a peaceful nation. In fact, they are demanding now that all Catholic schools, and they're already doing it because this was an old demand that I put on the site years ago, but they're demanding all Catholic schools teach Islam to the children. Worse yet, the churches that have joined with Rome on June 26, 2000, in the One World Church, have started a positive campaign pushing Islam. This is where the term Chrislam was originated. They are mixing Islam with Christianity. Sadly, even the Seventh-day Adventist Church, a church that used to understand prophecy, has joined with Rome to promote Islam as if it is godly. We've got all sorts of videos about that. And we now have SDA leaders, two of them actually declaring, like I say, on camera, that the God of Islam and the God of the Christian is one and the same, and that the Quran, which tells the Islamic people to kill Christians, they say the Quran is just as blessed as the Christian Bible. Now, strangely enough, many in the Islamic faith have declared to the mainstream media that all Christian churches that make the claim that Allah is the Christian God are lying. So this is putting all the Protestant churches in the trick bag, especially the SDA church, because they're actually saying on camera that Allah is the Christian God. But on October 14th, 2013, the Malaysian courts, no less, declared that only Muslims can call their God Allah, because there were some Christians in Malaysia doing it. They were following the lead of their Christian church leaders to say, yeah, just call God Allah. That way we can infiltrate or whatever, you know, whatever. But the fact of the matter is, now all those preachers out there and all those SDA teachers that said that Allah is God have now been exposed. And you know, that vindicates the truth we've been preaching all along. So even though the American churches still do this, reality cannot be hidden for long. The Muslims cannot hide their bloodthirsty desires any more than the Vatican can. In fact, their fruits confirm their religion is a Roman Catholic invention. And what I'm getting at is the next article on the list. Headline: Muslim holiday. It's Ashura, it's called. Islamic blood rituals on American streets. And it says, once again, the annual bloody ritual of Ashura is upon us. Muslims flagellate themselves and their children with whips and chains until bloody to commemorate the death of our president's namesake, Hussein. Why is this savagery tolerated in the U.S., considering that blood-borne illnesses could be hazardous and such? But it's more important to adhere to and to respect the Sharia and not offend Islam. That is the priority. And that came out on November 22nd, 2013. These men, if you check out this article, you wouldn't believe how much blood is all over the place, but these men did this bloody ritual in New York City just 2 weeks ago. And when you look at the pictures and the videos in the article, you can't help but be reminded of the annual blood rituals of Roman Catholics as well. We see it every Easter. They either whip themselves with small barbs, kind of similar to barbed wire, or they literally nail themselves to crosses. And blood everywhere. It's the same thing that Islam. I mean, that's because they're both the same religion. They're both created by the same popes. I mean, it's Catholicism. And Catholicism allows for everything. And for those of you that are new to the truth, you need to go to my Pope and Islam page on the website when time permits. Not only is there a lot of current events that show that this is, in fact, a Roman Catholic religion, there is a PDF on there from an ex-Jesuit priest that was killed for his testimony, who exposes that, yes, the Vatican did, in fact, create Islam to do what they're doing today. So sadly, this article is also why the Seventh-day Adventist Church and 3ABN openly declared on camera that Allah is the God of the Christian. Rome penned the Islamic faith, and Rome has taken over the SDA Church. And on my Roman SDA page on the SDAapostasy.org site, you can see this clearly. Anyone that reads the hundreds of documents shared on that page from both the Vatican and the SDA Church agrees the SDA Church is actually another Roman Catholic Church. In fact, it was stated back in 1981 by the then president of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, Neil C. Wilson, that now this is his words, I quote, he says, there is another universal and truly Catholic organization, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And you can get that. It's in one of the boxes down below in the notes. He said it in at the General Conference. Well, let's see. He said it in an Adventist Review, March 5th, 1981, on page 3. So, all the churches are now embracing Islam, and in so doing, soil the image of Christ by claiming the church is blessed of God when the bloodthirsty of the world are openly embracing as brothers, you know, they're being embraced as brothers and sisters. Now, how can church leaders declare Allah is God after seeing how Muslims kill at least a Christian every 2 minutes? It's because Muslims are brothers to Rome. And all the churches, including the SDA church, has now become a sister to fallen Babylon, just as Jesus predicted in the Word. And now that many churches are now embracing Islam to the point of the term Chrislam has been coined, the Vatican is pushing even harder to convince the people Allah is God. 3 weeks ago, the Vatican released the following article. They said, this is a headline, it says, the Vatican says, Allah, the Savior of Catholics and Muslims. And then the article says, to accept God as Allah in Malay language Bibles and other literature are logical and acceptable, said Archbishop Joseph Marino, the Vatican's first official envoy to Malaysia. And we all know what happened after that. 2 weeks ago, Malaysia says, oh, no, no, no. No, no, you're Christians. You can't say Allah is God. So they, too, got themselves in a trick bag. And yes, all the churches agree now 100% with that statement anyway, because the Pope said it. Worse yet, it's gotten so bad, they are now indoctrinating children in the schools with Islam. And I have way, way, way too many articles and videos about this on my Homeschool Spurs page on the website to share here, because it would take days to go through them. So for the sake of time, I'm just going to share a few headlines, like maybe 10. Number one, Texas Wesleyan University offers prayer room for Muslim students. That just happened last week. Minnesota Catholic University installs mini mosques and Islamic foot baths for Muslims. Again, I think a week and a half ago they did that. Schools keep textbook that whitewashes Islam. All British school children required to study Islamic history starting in 2014. New York City mayoral candidates support adding Islamic holidays to the school calendars. British students threatened with racial discrimination note for skipping the Islamic field trip. Now they're calling it racial discrimination if you don't do what they tell you to do when it comes to Islam. Amazing, isn't it? And then public school promotes the five pillars of Islam, and they had this big banner. They were forced to take it down, but they said, we're putting it right back up in the fall, and they did. Muslims use schools to secure foothold in Europe. That's that headline. And then two more. It says, is Muslim group waging stealth jihad in American schools? And then there's a video that says, and I got a lot of videos on this site, on this page too. The video, the headline is, U.S. textbooks say Muslims discovered America. Now, switching gears a bit, so as to move right along, as we also know by many historic references, most, of course, that are found in the Fox's Book of Martyrs, the Roman Catholic Church demanded that the people worship the little communion wafer they call the Eucharist. It's a little round host, they call it also. I mean, that's another word that they like to use. But on this host, and I got a picture of it on the website, is the plus sign symbol of Baal. So why am I bringing this up? It has been understood by many students of prophecy that Rome will once again push their false god forward, which is the Eucharist. So, and if you look up Eucharist on any dictionary, they always capitalize it because they consider it Jesus Christ incarnate inside that little wafer of bread. Anyway, but like I said, students of prophecy know that Rome's going to push this false god forward again so as to bolster their influence and their power in all the churches, and especially since June 26, 2000 is a history. It's in the past where all the churches, including the SDA church, are part of the one world church now. It's not going to be hard for the Vatican to do this. Look, you got to either do it or get out, and they don't want to get out because of the money. So, they won't be using it as they did during the Inquisitions, of course, where they would kill you in the most graphic ways if you didn't bow to that host. They will be using their mark, which they admit in writing is Sunday Sabbath. And so we know that prophecy's sure, but They need the people in all the churches to bow to Rome's Eucharist if they ever hope to spread their net of deception globally in a easier type of manner, if you will, especially in third world countries. I mean, over the years, I've posted numerous articles from the last three popes alone wherein they have been pushing the Eucharistic adoration or worship, as scriptures define it, before the people. But lately, their campaign to do so has gained new ground. This next article is actually a video on YouTube from the Catholic News Service. You can watch it if you like, but I won't be sharing it here. The headline of the video is A Spike in Eucharistic Adoration. It's in one of the boxes below. There's a link to it. And in their comments on the video, it says, a look at the growing popularity of Eucharistic adoration in Ireland. Now, again, as I said, this is what students of prophecies have been watching for the last few decades. During the Inquisitions, when the Vatican killed over 500 million Christians, their main reason for doing so was the Christians' denial that the Eucharist was God on earth. And there was other reasons as well, but that was their main reason. We expect this type of persecution to rear its ugly head again, and especially in nations where Rome can hide their genocidal attacks against those that refuse to bow to the Eucharist. With a managed media like we see today and the already well-known Islamic rampage across the globe, it's beginning to look more and more like the Roman Catholic Inquisition has returned. In fact, way back in 1991, which wasn't too long ago, Pope John Paul II reopened the Office of Inquisition. He just renamed it the Holy Office, and he had Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger run it for him. Ratzinger later became Pope, of course, Benedict XVI, and at that very same time he became Pope, Islam became more violent. Coincidence? I don't think so. So, has the Eucharist found its way into the Protestant churches? Yes, it has, somewhat, but nowhere near as bad as in the SDA church. And no, I am not harping on the SDA church. It used to be the beacon of light for our Lord. I mean, I have a heartfelt sorrow for this church because as I peer into its prophesied beginnings, I see a people of God called to proclaim present truth during the long prophesied ninth hour that our Lord Jesus spoke of 2,000 years ago in Matthew 20. And because they did such a good job and walked so closely with Jesus Christ during this work, they were targeted by Rome, the home of Antichrist on earth. I could see the apostles and Paul experiencing the exact same sadness as they looked upon the fallen synagogues of their nation. They too would say, if only the SDA church would have stayed close to our heavenly king and refused to compromise their faith, as well as refused to yoke unequally with Roman infiltrators, they would still be a powerful beacon of truth in this world for many right now. Still, I do praise the Lord their fall did not stop the truth from moving forward. In fact, Jesus also stated in that his obedient people would come out of the SDA church. I know the SDA church says the exact opposite. The bad people are leaving the church. No, that's not what the prophecy says. And as well as the other churches. I mean, Revelation 18 is pretty plain. It says that they would finish the work of the 11th hour. And so we're doing just that right now. Now, this may be very hard for some to believe and a shock for others that used to be Catholic and then became SDA. But the SDA church has used the Roman Catholic term of the Eucharist in writing. I have a page on SDAapostasy.org all about this, and I'm only going to share two quotes from that page for the sake of time, but there's a lot of them. This first quote, I don't know which box it's in the notes, but it's down there somewhere. It says, the purpose of this essay is primarily, to show how Seventh-day Adventist understanding of the Eucharist or the Lord's Supper and to highlight Adventist understanding and practice of the Eucharist in preparation for celebration of the Eucharist. Seventh-day Adventists practice the washing of feet. And then it's from an article, Churches Respond to Baptism, Eucharist, and Ministry on Volume 2, page 341. This was penned in 1985, all right? And then this next one is from an article titled Baptism, Eucharist, and Ministry, Volume 2, page 341, or a book, rather. And it says, the Eucharist is also the central celebration of the Christian church. Now, this statement was actually the church's official response to the ecumenical meeting that they were a part of at the Faith and Order Conference of the World Council of Churches back in 1982 in Lima, Peru. But notice, if you will, that besides the fact they lend credence to the pagan Eucharist, they also use the Roman Catholic term celebration for the mass surrounding it. If you study history, you know that during the Inquisition, whenever the Roman Catholic Church killed a Christian, in a public manner, they called it a celebration unto God every time. And now we see the Seventh-day Adventist Church using the exact same terminology as the Inquisitional Courts of Rome. In any event, as expected, the Roman Church is pushing forward in the agenda of the Eucharistic worship. No, I don't believe they will use this doctrine to start killing en masse. It is mostly used to garner control within the churches. We do see some killings in this regard, of course, but mostly in third world nations where force is an effective tool for Roman evangelists. But as we know, the prophecy says the global death penalty will be enacted via Sunday laws. The Eucharistic thrust is nothing more than the means by which to help smooth out some of the smaller areas of opposition on their road to destruction. So, that being said, it appears, as expected, I'm going to have to do two parts to this sermon. Reason being is there's too many prophesied events in just the last few weeks or months alone that I can't cover them all today in one sermon. So, that being said, I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. It may take a while for Eli to get the mic, so hold on. Maybe some lag mic, or mic lag. Mike, I'll just put into the main room. You guys can hear me. They can't. So. No, Alex is. Oh, I'll have to answer that later. Oh, there. Okay, there goes. Oh, his microphone turned off. There's a question in the room, too. Okay, maybe I better grab the mic here. Looks like Eli's having a hard time. He's got a shaky connection to begin with, so is anybody else? I don't know if we got any music here. Alex had a question. I thought we would do the Lord's Supper, too. No, we do that every 3 months. This is we didn't have any announcement to that effect. So, but, yeah, that's in a couple of months. Thanks, Dee Dee, but yeah, I got that on the website, on the Pope Francis page, in regards to the spreading the wealth. Okay, Eli's going to try it again. Let me turn off my mic. Oh, wait, put your mic back up there, Eli. Put your hand back up. Okay. Okay, looks like he's having problems. I'm also making statements. Oh, there goes the microphone. It just turned on. Let's just see if it'll actually start playing some music. And I'm making comments because this is being recorded. I don't want just dead air sitting there. Okay, here we go. Thank you. Amen and amen. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the changing of the showbread, and thank you for blessing us with eyes that see and giving us an opportunity to let the people know what's happening. And thank you for letting us know thousands of years ago the way you wrote these things down. And it's just amazing the way the prophecies in the Christian Bible are so accurate. We thank you, Father, for keeping us and giving us the courage to endure what's about to happen and what's already started happening. And please bless us and help us in our unbelief. Forgive us when we sin, and give us a strength in faith that grants us the courage, so that even when the death penalty comes forth, we know we're going to lose some, Father, with the buy and sell issue, but many will stand firm. But when the death penalty comes short, many are going to fall short of that. They're not going to be able to handle it. They're going to be fearful. Our faith needs to be so strong that death won't even move us. And so thank you, Father, for blessing us in that respect, to where our faith is exactly where you prophesied it will be, so that we can be part of the Gideon band. And again, we lift up these prayers unto you in the name of your Son, and who is our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen.